Someone was telling me, you know, that Mr. Bush, they heard, that he told recently how that he was born again, not as some would speak of being born again as if it's a done thing, but through personal faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God when a man's born again through personal faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, it'd be a wonderful thing if politicians got saved. Perhaps our world would be all the better if politicians got saved. When you come to chapter 9, it's not a politician, it's a theologian. That is, a man that studies the Bible. A man that gives himself to holy things. My dear friend, he needed to get saved too. But just studying the Bible, going to church, meeting, singing hymns, doesn't put a soul in heaven, you know. It's got to be personal faith in our Lord Jesus that puts a soul in heaven. So a politician got saved in chapter 8. A religious theologian got saved in chapter 9. But when we come down to chapter 10, it's a military man, a soldier. He got saved. You see, God walks in all works amongst all classes of men. Wherever men are found, men can get saved. They all got saved in different ways, too. If I was to take a look at that man in chapter 8, I'd find that that man got saved in his chariot in a desert as he's on his journey home. You don't have to be in a meeting to get saved. The second man, he got saved outside the city gates of Damascus as God spoke to him and the light shone from heaven round about him. They both got saved in different ways. And this man here in chapter 10, he got saved in a different way altogether. He got saved in what we would call in England a little cottage meeting. He got the folks gathered in his house. And Peter came, and in that home he just preached to him the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, it's the only thing that could save him, Christ. And in that little cottage meeting, in his own home, as the message was brought to him, he bowed his knees to God's beloved Son and he was saved. Do you know how that politician got saved? He had Christ preached to him. And when he got Christ preached to him, he got saved. Do you remember the theologian of chapter 9, later the Apostle Paul? A vision of Christ. And he got saved. And this man here, it was Christ that was preached to him. Because, my dear friend, it's only Christ, ever Christ, always Christ. Without Christ, you can't be saved. Christ alone can save. And every one of them, in a different way, came face to face with the Son of God. And every one of them bowed their knees to the Lord Jesus. But here, when this man was saved, he was a Gentile. And God was going to use the mighty apostle Peter that he might take the gospel to him. The only thing is that Peter wouldn't have gone to Gentiles, because Peter, he reckoned that Gentiles were unclean. He didn't think God would ever move amongst them. Well, thank God from that day to this, he's not stopped moving amongst them. He's still moving amongst them. He's still saving them. But Peter had to be conditioned. And before he'd go, God gave him a vision. And the vision was of a great sheet that was let down from heaven, knit at the four corners, tied at the four corners. And inside that sheep were all kinds of unclean beasts, that is, unclean to a Jew to eat. If you were acquainted with your Bible, you'd know from the book of Leviticus, chapters 11 and 12, that there were certain things a Jew couldn't eat. And all these sort of things were in this sheep. And God says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." For he felt hungry. Oh, but Peter wasn't going to touch them. Obnoxious to a Jew. He wasn't going to stain himself. Then the voice said, "What God hath cleansed, call not that thou comest." My dear friend, he's really speaking of the gospel, you know. So he's going to send Peter to an unclean Gentile.
And he's going to tell Peter that these unclean Gentiles, when God touches them, they're not unclean anymore. And there's nothing common about them anymore. They're brought amongst the household of faith, they're amongst the redeemed of God, they're amongst the saints of God. So Peter's condition. Well, I want us to take a look at that sheet for a moment or two. But I believe it's a lovely illustration to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And I hope, my dear friend, if you're not saved, that ere this night is done, you'll be in that sheet. For it's God's provision for your salvation. And I hope by faith you'll be amongst them that God says are neither common nor unclean. You've become amongst the saints of God. Your sins have been put away. And my dear friend, the mark of heaven has been set upon you. And the blessing of God has been given to you. I hope you're going to get in. There's a number of things about this sheep that the Bible tells us about. You'll see from verse 11 it says that Peter says he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him. My dear friend, this great sheep, its source was heaven. That's where the gospel began, you know. Oh, if God hadn't taken an interest in us, if God hadn't taken thought of us, if God hadn't come down to us, I tell you, friend, we could never have been saved. We don't seek him, you know. There are some of you folks in this meeting tonight, and you're out of Christ. And perhaps you're only here because you've been brought here. Perhaps you've no real desire to be here. You'd long to be elsewhere. I want to tell you, friend, you're in a place of blessing tonight. And I thank God you're here. But perhaps you're not here because you're seeking God. Perhaps you're here just because you've got to be here. But I tell you, friend, as humanity, we never seek after God. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. We've all gone out of the way. But when we were running from him, bless God, he came to seek us. Here we see the source of our salvation. If God hadn't come out, and if the means of our salvation had not come, then we could never have been saved. If God had stayed in heaven, and Christ had stayed in heaven, and if the heavens had remained as brass, we would all have been poor, guilty, hell-bound sinners, and my dear friend, there'd been nothing but eternal burning for us. But thank God for the day when heaven opened. Thank God for the day when the gospel came. And when God made provision for sinners like you and me, that we might get in, and we might get saved. So that we discover the source of it. Heaven. The heavens were opened. But then, notice the next thing. As he saw this great sheep, I like that, you know. Oh, my dear friend, this is big enough for any one of us. We can all get in, you know. This is not just for a few folks. I'm glad the call of the gospel is, whosoever believeth, the heart of my God goes out to sinners wherever they're found. I want to tell you tonight, whoever you are, friend, there's room in this sheep for you. There's a place for you tonight. God wants to reach out to you tonight, and God wants to bring you in. But it's a great sheep. This is not limited to a few, you know. My dear friend, you can be amongst the redeemed. But God has provided for us in our Lord Jesus. But listen to this. When we see the source of it, God coming down, he tells us here, it was a great sheep as it was knit at the four corners. That is, you know, tied at the four corners. And you can imagine, couldn't you, a sheep that came up at the four corners so that once you got in, you didn't get out. This is no flying carpet, you know. I've often been a wee bit frightened when I've seen these flying carpets on the Arabian Nights tale. I'm glad it was no flying carpet that I came over here in, let me tell you. I'm glad the thing was wide-bodied, and I'm glad it was all the way around me. I'd have been frightened of falling off the end of it. My dear friend, the source of our gospel is heaven opened. God came in. But I want to tell you this, the security with the gospel tonight. For the idea of this sheep being nipped at the corners and being brought up is the fact that once you get in, you'll not get out. You know, before I got saved, there's many a time I longed to be saved. Many a night I wanted to get to Christ. But there seemed to come something to me, you know, and whisper in my ear, "Son, if you got saved, you'll never keep it up." The devil keeps many a soul from Christ by that, you know. And there's many a sinner gone down to hell, let me tell you tonight, because the devil came when they were under conviction. "You'll never keep it up." You're not asked to keep it up. You're asked to get in. That's all. You're asked to believe in our Lord Jesus. My dear friend, you don't save yourself. He saved you. It was the sheep that kept them up. And let me tell you, once you get in, you'll be saved eternally. For the God that saved you right at the beginning is the God that will save you at the end. There's a lovely verse in the book of Philippians. It says, "He that began the good work, he that began the good work will complete it." You know who saved me on March the 17th, 1951? Well, you say, "Christ saved you, sir." That's right, friend, Christ saved me. And you know who's saving me on January, whatever it is, the 2nd, is it? In 1988? The Christ that saved me, my dear friend, in 1951 is the Christ that's saving me tonight. But he began a work then and he's continuing now. And when eternal ages roll on and sinners are in hell, do you know how I'm going to be saved? Ah, this gospel, my dear friend, we're absolutely secure. And I'm glad it's knit at the four corners. For it's Christ that saves us. It's Christ that saves us eternally. And once you're in, you can never get out. Don't let the devil come and tell you, you can't keep it up, it doesn't depend on you. He saves, my dear friend, and he keeps. And he'll do it for eternity. For this gospel is for eternity. But come a little bit further. For it tells me, if the source of our salvation is heaven opened, if the security of our salvation is this sheep knit at the four corners, will you see the scope of it? When it says, it was knit at the four corners, the north, the south, the east, the west. And bless God, not only in Manchester, England, but in San Diego, California. And you know what the Bible says? Out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. You know, the Lord understands Chinese just as much as he understands the English. And if a sinner calls upon God in his Chinese, he'll get saved. And it doesn't matter what the tongue. It doesn't matter the nation. For the Christ of God came out for all sinners everywhere, whoever they might be. Thank God it's the four corners this is going out. My dear friend, not only its door, not only its security, but its scope. You see, wherever God sees sinners, here in this little gospel hall tonight, there may be a sinner anxious about the soul. Listen, friend, God wants you saved. And God wants you in. There's another of it. But it says it was let down to the earth. That's the sphere of it, you know. So this gospel goes out throughout the earth. Just a minute now, can I just give you a wee warning? Friend, you can only be saved while you're on the earth. This is your day of opportunity. This could be the hour when your destiny is made. There's no salvation, you know, once you've left the earth. There's a strange doctrine, sweet our land. And that strange doctrine is that sinners get saved at the judgment throne. It's there where destinies are made. No, my dear friend, it's here where destinies are made. If you leave it till the judgment throne, it's too late. It's what you do with Christ now that matters. It's what you do with God's beloved Son now that's going to count whether you're saved or not. My dear friend, don't leave it too late.
There's no salvation after the earthly experience is finished. It's for men living on the earth this gospel sheet came down. And it's here and now you can make a decision whether you're going to get in and whether you're going to believe in Christ. If you don't get in, friends, you'll never be saved. Oh, the source God. Without him caring, we couldn't have been saved. The security of this salvation, once you're in forever. The scope of it, friend, going out to the four corners of the earth, wherever men are found. And the sphere of it, just remember, just the earth. And it's only here and now. No salvation after life's journey is done. If you've not made your decision for Christ, friend, you'll be lost forever. But who gets it? So look at them, will you please? Because verse 12 tells us who gets in. It says, wherein were all manner. I like this, you know. But it tells me the different kinds that get in. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Who got in? Oh, well, he says, there was the four-footed got in. You know, the four-footed, to me, they're the sure-footed. You never see a dog falling very much, do you? You don't see a cow falling too hard. The four-footed, the sure-footed. You see me fall now. We leap on a wet ground and I'll be away. We don't see dogs and cats and the like. You see, the four-footed are the sure-footed. The steady of life. But they've got to get in. There's a man here called Cornelius. My dear friend, he'd got four good feet, let me tell you, under him. But he wasn't saved. One of the steady of earth. One of the men that didn't give himself to riotousness. Have you seen the man 4 feet? You'll find them in verse 2 now of this chapter. Feet number one, it says, or foot number one, he was a devout man. But then he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. He was a man that feared God with all his house. But he wasn't saved. He was one that gave alms to the people. He helped the poor. But he wasn't saved. But a fear of God is not enough tonight to save your soul. To be devout is not enough, friend. To help the poor is not enough. Philanthropists are not saved because they give the money away. And he's a man that prayed to God always, let me tell you. And there were four good feet. But my dear friend, he wasn't saved. He had to get in. But thank God. These people can be saved. These people need to be saved. And there's a place for them to be saved. Friend, they must believe in our Lord Jesus. For this sheet is just a picture of Christ. Perhaps there's somebody here. And my dear friend, morally, your life is pretty clean. You do go to meetings. You do sing the hymn. You do help the district. But are you saved tonight? Have you got to Christ tonight? Listen, Cornelius was one of the four-footed creatures, but he needed God's salvation. Without Christ, he couldn't be saved. And my dear friend, you need Christ tonight if you're going to be saved. But look, there wasn't only the four-footed. It says on the wild beast. The wild beast. I tell you, they're not the steady, they're the savage, aren't they? I've only got to go back a chapter, and I can find a savage beast. He was the theologian, he was the religious man, he was the religious leader, the man that was head and shoulders above everyone else, the man that knew his Bible said, but a savage beast. The Bible tells me in the previous chapter, he was a man that was breathing out threatenings and slaughters. He was like a dragon. My dear friend, his religion caused him to hate the name of Christ. His religion caused him to persecute them that loved the Lord Jesus Christ.
He was one of the men that stood by, Wendy. First martyr Stephen was stoned to death. And he was the man that held the coach, you know, while the big boys took them off to throw the stones. Friend, he hated Christ and he hated Christianity. He was just a savage beast. Oh, he had a cloak of religion, but breathing out threatenings and slaughters. But thank God he got saved. And thank God he got into that sheet. And when at last that sheet is caught up, there's not only going to be Cornelius in it, there's going to be Saul in it. The steady are going to be there, the savage are going to be there. And there's many a wild man got saved. I could tell you a few of them, you know, from my own country. Wild, wild men that got saved. Thank God the gospel reaches them. And the gospel saves them. But look, not only the four-footed, not only the wild beast, it says, and creeping things. You know, if you'd have been here on Thursday night, you'd have heard how I got saved. The shameful of earth, friend. Coming down to the slums of Manchester. Drinking from a jug or milk bottles. Because we had no cups and we had no saucers. Sleeping with an old coat thrown over the bed. A sodden mess. A dirty, filthy house. Oh, friend, God reaches down there. He doesn't just go to them with fancy suits, you know. And they wear a nice hat on the head if they're a lady. Go reach down to wherever sinners are found. Thank God he can reach to the guttermost. He doesn't leave them in the gutter. He puts them in the sheet, let me tell you. And from the guttermost he raises them to the uttermost. And he brings sinners from the gutter and brings them to the glory. Thank God he is one that got in, a poor shameful creature. But the gospel reaches the shameful creatures, friend. Mary Magdalene to the earth, full of devils, I wonder why. I tell you, friend, she wasn't in that state. Because of her moral life, you know. She prayed and bubbled with sin. Oh, but Christ reached her. The gospel touched her. And her soul was gloriously saved. Thank God for the gospel that reaches sinners. There might be the refined sinner like a Cornelius. The religious sinner like Saul of Tarsus. There might be the shameful sinner like Mary. Bless God, here's the great sheep that they can get into. Here's the great sheep that'll save them. But you know, there's not only the four-footed, there's only the wild, there's not only the creeping things. There's the fowls of the air. You know, they're not the steady, they're the soaring, aren't they? I often think of these as the superior of earth. There's a man in our Bible called Manelum. He was from the household of Herod, you know. One of the aristocracy, out of the court.